You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening, was broadcast live to Facebook. On this show, we talk to the people behind the movie Karate Kill. We're joined by director Kurendo Mitsutaki, actor Kirk Geiger, and actress and professional wrestler Katarina Waters. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to The Dorkening every Tuesday night on our Facebook page. Just do a search for The Dorkening, where we have a live Wicked Horror Show, just like this one, where you can interact with the guests and us, the dorks. If you haven't checked out the other shows on the network, what are you waiting for? Hurry up. I'll wait. Just kidding, I won't. Enjoy the show.
With us today, we have Kevin.
What's up, everybody?
Wolfie.
Oh!
Thank you for keeping it short.
Tony.
What is going on, people?
Yo, yo.
Hey, everybody.
And our very special guest today, we have three of them from the movie Karate Kill, the director, Kurendo Mitsutaki.
Yep. Oh. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Good job, Leo.
Hooray. And she plays one of the villains here. She's a WWE icon, Miss Katarina Lay Waters. Did I say that correct?
Yes.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Leo's two for two. And the main villain...
You're going to mess up this one. Yeah. This is going to be awesome.
The easiest one.
Yeah.
And the main villain... Just an incredible psychopath in this movie, Kirk Geiger.
Did I say hey, everybody. How are you?
And we're going to throw it over to Kevin before I mess something
so,
up.
So I said before the show that there was something I wanted to tell Kirk right when we started, and that's you're my new favorite creep.
Yeah.
Like for real. Like, I was like, you, like right away when you had the GoPro like looking you in the face, I'm like, that dude, I would not mess with that dude. Like, he has got problems. This is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Most I actually thought, like, I could probably pull this off because I'm a creep, too. But it was very convincing. Very convincing.
His character is very bent.
Yeah. So for those who don't know what we're talking about the movie Karate Kill.
Yeah.
We all checked it out. It was already released in Japan. We were talking to Kurendo, right?
Yep.
All right, sorry. It was already released in Japan. You said it was already released on... like, you know, physical media out there. It's going to be released in the U.S. soon, right?
July 18th.
Awesome. Yep. And is that going to be DVD and Blu-ray?
Yeah, DVD, Blu-ray, and VOD. I'm not aware of all the platforms, but including iTunes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's. I watched it once. I dug it. I actually put something on Facebook that I was watching and that I dug it. It's got there's a mixture of like practical effects and digital effects, and so, like sometimes digital effects bug me. It didn't bug me so much, which is that's another thing that I had brought up, that the movie looked like it cost more money than it did. It's very visually shot, very, very well. You know, there's a lot to look at, so I wanted to rewatch the ending because there's so much to see. You know. So do you want to give a little bit of rundown of maybe like somewhat of a summary of the story without giving too much away?
Sure. The Japanese karate master named Kenji, he has a sister. She goes missing in L.A. And this guy decides to, you know, come find the sister on his own. And he quits all his jobs in Japan that was supporting his sister studying in L.A. acting, and he comes over to L.A. and find out that this cult leader, played by Kirk Geiger, and his right-hand person is played by Katrina, and basically these bad, crazy people kidnap his sister, and basically his adventure begins.
Yes.
Yeah.
And their crew... Kirk and Katrina's crew are just twisted and messed up. You call it the right hand man or red eyed woman, whatever. Be one of the two. But it was very cool. Like for a group of villains, it was a very cool idea. Like what they are,
right?
You know, it's very twisted.
It's funny because every time I saw, you know, it's like when you see Kirk and Katrina, you see them in their full, you know, everything. But when you see a lot of the army that follows Kirk, they're wearing burlap sacks. And I kept on thinking about the town that dreaded sundown.
Yeah. Yep.
With the bag.
Yeah.
That was a trick I came up with because some of the scenes, my Japanese stunt team had to double the henchmen. Right. So, you know, and I, you know, they are the, you know, basically, American cult group. So it has to be, you know, American people. But then Japanese actors, stunt people doubling them. So I was like, how am I going to hide their faces? You know? And, I was like, how about a hockey mask? You know, that was my idea. Then my producer said, we don't have budget for hockey masks. So how about the goddamn mask, you know, and about the bag. And then they said, okay, well, we can do bags. And that's how it came about.
Well, it's you know, I think
it works.
It definitely works. Yeah. Adds a different level of creepiness to them.
Yeah, I just assumed that the reason that they were wearing masks, I mean, I like his reasoning behind it, but I just figured it was because the rest of the armor were just supposed to be nameless, faceless thugs.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to make them really creepy. So
yeah. And go ahead.
I remember one scene. The one guy was standing outside the door, and it kind of had like a Friday the 13th when Jason didn't have his mask on. He had that sack. I was like, oh, he's getting ready to, you know. It just reminded me of the one scene.
Right.
I was going to say, actually, I totally forgot what I was going to say. Thanks, Tony. I remember what I was going to say. Sorry. I'm a professional. Anyways, I was going to bring up the fact that most of the movie is in Japanese with subtitles, but there are English speaking characters as well. And I know some people are bothered by subtitles. I personally think it's better, rather than a dub. I just think it's cooler. It's lots of awesome action, great karate. I almost said kung fu. It's karate, though, right? Karate kill.
Hence the name.
Yeah. So you said that you had to reuse a lot of the stunt doubles. I'm assuming, Katrina, because of your background in wrestling, you did a lot of your own stunt work. Or did you do all your own stunt work?
Yes, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was there any scenes in particular that that you found extra challenging or?
Not necessarily. I think what I did find interesting or maybe challenging about this was that the stunt team, particularly, they work in a slightly different way to where they wanted me to like hit Hayate really hard rather than more sort of faking it or blocking it or missing. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, the instinct is also through pro wrestling to make contact, but not actually hit hard, you know? And then whenever I've done other fight choreography, I've usually done where I've missed the person completely. And then just the camera angle makes it look like I've hit them, you know? So they kept telling me like, hit him harder. So that was a little challenging for me. And then, you know, obviously some of the techniques, but we had an extra day of rehearsal. And then on the day we rehearsed a few more times and everything like that.
Yeah. It was very cool. And I enjoyed the scene without giving too much away. There's a scene involving your eye towards the end of the movie that I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome right there. Again, I love practical effects. I know practical effects can be very expensive, so I'm sure that's part of the reason why you use some digital effects as well.
It's a mixture of things. Katrina's eye scene, we used the practical one, and it actually was really forceful fake blood on your face, so she really had to struggle to stay there in the camera to get enough footage. But I'm sure it was painful, and thank you very much for enduring that.
Only at the very end, because I tried so hard to keep my eyes completely closed, and it was fine for most of it, and then just right at the end, it just burst through. So
that's no good. Yeah, and then also Kirk's farewell, very 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 intense as well.
Really?
I thought that was done very well as well. I don't know if you want to go around the room and maybe we can all maybe bring up something that, what we liked about the movie the most.
Well, actually, before we do that, we happen to have the trailer.
Oh, okay.
And, we want to let everybody know this movie comes out soon. We're talking July 18th. Comes out. You can buy the Blu-ray and DVD at Walmart, Target, Amazon. Also VOD as well, July 18th. But this is an awesome movie. We all loved it. And here is the trailer for Karate Kill.
The customer you're trying to reach is not available. The customer you're trying to reach is not available. Not available. Not available. Not available.
So anyways, that was the trailer for Karate Kill. How fantastic does that look? I mean, come on. You were saying while that was going on that it was released in Japan first because it was technically a Japanese movie even though it was filmed in L.A.
Yeah, it's basically my scheme or my shtick, if you would, right now is to shoot the low-budget Japanese movie here in L.A. And so I did... I did that with my second feature called Samurai Avenger. And then I did another movie called Gun Woman. And then Karate Kill is the third installment on that, my business scheme, shooting a low-budget Japanese movie in L.A.
Now, is there a reason why is it cheaper to film in L.A. than it is to film in Japan?
Well, not necessary, but because I'm based here, I can actually use my independent film connections and whatnot to make the shooting in LA a lot cheaper for Japanese producers, who just come here blindly, let's say. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
very cool. So I don't know if you guys want to talk about possibly like the stuff you liked in the movie. I don't know, Tony, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. The one thing that I like how it has some like comedy thrown in there too, little bits of, you know, funniness. And my whole thing was the one fight scene, I'll just say, with the hair part.
Yeah.
And the password, I laughed. And I must say it that part just got me laughing, because usually I don't laugh at loud, you know, in like fighting movies. Right. And right there, I was like, wow, that got me laughing for a good like minute and a half. So I must say, I definitely liked how there was comedy bits thrown in there too.
Yeah, I like a little bit of a twisted humor in my movie, so I definitely added that. Yeah.
Yeah, I laughed a lot when I watched it. I kept like, because I wasn't able to come to the screening, so Corona sent me a screener, and I was just sitting at home, and I laughed out loud a lot.
Yeah, yeah, that the hair thing got me as well. I just thought that because he was just so self-conscious about it. But it looks like
Please say, oh, no, not.
Yo, what did you think?
Definitely like the fight scene before that. Where, again, I try not. It's got a balance, not giving too much away. But how the fight scene is shot is amazing. Definitely worth seeing. Also, towards the end, the fight scene in the trailer. Both of those were definitely like standout scenes for me.
As far as the fighting goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Wolfie?
The cinematography, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The wooden sword fight happens earlier in the movie. Then the fight with the real sword happens a little later. So it's kind of like lesson one and lesson two kind of thing. So they kind of work together as a pair, and so that was kind of a conscious decision how we introduced those two fights in the movie.
Wolfie,
yeah, I'm gonna double up with Yo-Yo on the fight scene in the trailer. I was talking to Carando earlier on sit down, and you know, told him that I didn't, you know, for a while there, I didn't realize until they went to a long shot, to an outside shot, that they were actually in a trailer of a truck. I just thought they were like in some random warehouse, you know, type of thing. So I really like that. I also, and I said this earlier too, I like the fact that that Kirk and Katrina's characters understood Japanese, you know, and well, it's like, especially the scene where what Katrina says, yeah, that bitch isn't around anymore, you know,
yeah.
When she's talking about her eye. You know, and I love that. I thought that was very cool. It just made the movie flow a little bit more for me. And yeah, that and the one that scene you brought up earlier about Katrina's other eye.
Yeah.
I really love that.
Leo, what about you?
Well, as you know, I love martial arts movies. And from beginning to end, this movie just had me hooked. You know, it's... First of all, it's beautifully shot. Some of the scenes, especially like with the training with the sun in the background, was just amazing. The story, you know, you have this guy trying to find his sister, and you know, obviously what happens with her. But overall, that along with the characters, I mean, both Kirk and Katrina, they sold it. I mean, Kirk was an absolute madman in this. You know, and Katrina being, you know, his right-hand woman there. you know, you guys did an amazing job on this movie. Absolutely love it. I want to see more stuff from you. And especially, you know, Carando, you know, I got to see more stuff from you as well. Just overall, this movie just had me beginning to end, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And that's one thing, too. Like, it's very hard to keep your attention a lot of times when you're watching a movie because the cell phones, this fidget spinners, to just keep your attention. But I legit like watched from beginning to end. I didn't touch anything, and it's not. I mean, it happens every once in a while, but not all the time. There's a lot of classic movies that me and Wolfie will review, and a lot of times it takes me a couple sittings to get through it because I'm like, I just didn't grab me, you know?
Right.
So, but, and that's the thing is I'm not like a huge action guy either. So that's true. That says something right there too.
So we have a Sam Yano in the chat room says cinematography courtesy of, I'm going to say this wrong, Toshiyuki Imai?
Imai, yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow, Leo.
Yeah, and Sam is actually our, he was our B-cam operator and editor, and he did all the VFX, CG effects.
Nice. Yeah. Well, good job.
Yeah. I just realized that Leo was in the wrong country to be pronounced a name.
I agree completely. Just so you guys know, he mispronounces names all the time.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
And tonight he's nailing all these names and he's doing a great job. So
good job. Good
you're
job,
just
Ron.
In the wrong country, Leo.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I've brought up a few things that I've already said I liked, obviously. Again, it's worth watching and watching again as well, because there was things that I didn't notice that I wanted to, like, I want to revisit this because visually it looked great. So again, good job to the guys that did the cinematography. Fantastic. Katrina, you said that you weren't able to go see a screening of it. Was there like a screening in Japan like that you guys went to or no?
No, actually we had the LA cast and crew screening and Katrina, you were working and you were out of country or something, right?
Yeah, I think that's when I was in England. I was shooting in England a film. It's in post-production now. And then the second time it screened in LA at the Japanese Film Festival, and I was actually doing a wrestling show that night, so I couldn't go either.
Right.
What about you, Kirk? Were you able to go to them?
I also, luckily, was shooting another film during the cast and crew screening, so I was in Canada. I missed that one. But I did just go to the Japan Film Festival, where Mr. Mitsutake won Best Director, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Congrats.
So that was a big screen, but before that, I had only seen a little screener on the computer.
Now, what was it like seeing that in with a crowd? What was that like?
Entirely different. I mean, you sit in your own room and you can get your own sort of gauge, but when you're there and people are laughing and oohing and saying some of the lines back, I mean, you sort of get a feel that this is gonna go places. It wasn't a lot of people in the room, but it was enough. It was a small room. It was packed, but everyone was very much with it. And boy, does that help the energy.
Laugh. That's awesome. That yeah. Phenomenal. That's cool.
Yeah. So, Carando, I know that you're basically an action person, but would you ever venture into doing other kinds of genres, maybe horror or sci-fi or something like that?
Totally. I'm actually an avid horror movie fan. And because I love horror so much, I don't want to do a half-assed job. So I'm waiting for my opportunity to do my horror movie, full-on horror movie. And actually, I have several pitches out to different studios, Japanese studios and whatnot. And actually, one of them is a full-on Japanese homage to Giallo, Italian horror slasher genre. So, cross your fingers that I get the funding for it. And maybe we can talk about it when I make
that. Yeah. That would be I would love to see that a Japanese take to Giallo films. Wow,
yeah,
that's awesome.
That'd be so cool. Yeah.
So I think we talked about it before the show. We were obviously a lot of us were obviously impressed with Kirk's performance. Very creepy. And I told you I was a little surprised at how small your IMDb was, and you took some time off.
Did, yeah. I'm just coming to the end of that time off now. These two films that I just did this past year, or, well, I guess within the past 2 years, sort of got me going again, and I jumped in, did a world premiere play by a playwright also. So I'm just getting back in and, hoping to secure an agent here real soon and just get back in and doing it, all the time.
That's awesome. Because I was shocked when I saw that. I was like, I assumed it was wrong. Because right. I was like, this dude, I have to have, like, there's got to be tons of things with this guy in it. There's got to be.
Well, I'm from your lips to God's ears, man, that's where it's going to go, I hope. I mean, I was hoping to use this as a stepping stone to get the rep, to get the next audition, and get in the room.
I don't see.
Dude, if you don't get a rep.
Yeah, I don't see.
If you don't get a rep from this movie, then there's something wrong with the rest of the world. It's not you.
Awesome. Right on, man. Hugely appreciate that.
We don't want to jinx it.
Yeah. Nope. No, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And then and Katrina, you're still wrestling as well. Amongst, like, you have a bunch of other stuff coming out as well.
Yeah, so I shot that film last year in England called Redcon 1. That's coming out. I'm not sure when, but that's in post right now. And then another film that I just did called Sickness, which is a horror film, just premiered at a film festival at the weekend. And yeah, and then I'm still doing a bit of wrestling.
Now, how often do you do the wrestling?
It kind of varies because I don't really, you know, put myself out there as a wrestler, but every now and then somebody will call me and say, hey, are you available for this show or that show? So it can be a few times a month, or sometimes I'll have 2 months where I don't have anything, so it really varies now.
Yeah. That's pretty cool that you can do that, though.
Which was your first love? Was it wrestling? Was it acting? Or kind of both? Because they kind of go, like, hand in hand a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was acting was first. And in terms of my experience, it was acting first. So when I was little, I was, you know, in the children's chorus at a local theater, and I did school plays, and that was kind of the first thing I wanted to do. And I studied film and drama at university, and then was kind of set on that path, really. But I'd been a wrestling fan during my teenage years, and I was a huge wrestling fan, but I didn't know that there was an independent scene or that you could even learn to do that. Until I, by coincidence, I saw a British wrestling show, and then I was just watching it, and I thought, well, if these people can do it, then I can do it. So I did some research, and I found a school, and then the wrestling sort of just took over.
And so, how long did it take you to break into, like, the big time as far as wrestling goes?
Well, depends on, you know, if WWE is the big time, then it took me about 8 years. But it wasn't like I wasn't sending in my tapes, you know, for years to trying to do that. I was just really, I'd actually kind of right before that happened, I'd taken a year off from wrestling to do acting because I'd gotten so caught up with wrestling that I hadn't really been pursuing the acting, and I really wanted to do that. So I started auditioning in London, and I did a couple of plays, and then of course if you do a play, you're out for it. You know, however long the play is, the rehearsal period, and then the play and everything. So I took almost a year off of wrestling, really, to do that. And then I started getting booked all of a sudden in Italy, and then I did a show in Japan, and then WWE had these open tryouts, and I thought, well, I might as well just give it a go. And so that's how that all happened.
So you mentioned a movie that you just finished, Sickness. Mm-hmm. And just so happens, Sickness, you star in Sunday's guest. Sunday, we have Brian O'Halloran coming on the show.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about working with Brian in the movie Sickness?
Oh, Brian was great. So he's just so friendly and just, you know, no airs at all. I'm sure you'll find out when you speak to him, or maybe you have already. Just so supportive of the film and so supportive of independent films in general. So it was really, really awesome. And we had a scene where he's my dentist, right, as I'm becoming sick or kind of zombified. So, yeah, I turned evil, and it was a really fun scene. It was really fun working with him.
Nice. So we have a bunch of people watching. If you have any questions, feel free to post them in the comments if you have any questions for our awesome guests here. And while we got you here, we're going to show the trailer one more time for Karate Kill.
Footage coming soon.
on this on subject here.
And we are back. So that's the trailer for Karate Kill, which comes out.
Keanu Reeves, huh? No, sorry, guys.
If you're interested in seeing this movie, comes out soon, really soon, July 18th, comes out on video on demand, along with Best Buy, Target, Amazon. I believe that's Walmart. If you want to pick up the hard copy on Blu-ray or DVD, it's going to be where your movies are sold, or just order on Amazon or video on demand. We urge you to see it. We loved it. You're going to love it. And Wolfman, you had a question before we...
Yeah, just going back to Katrina doesn't mind, we're going to go a little bit back to your wrestling, your early wrestling days. When you discovered that there was, you know, British wrestling, it's different than American pro wrestling. American pro wrestling is more like sports entertainment, but British pro wrestling is a little more serious, right? So it must have been different coming over here when you got picked up by WWE.
Not really anymore, because like when I started, there were some promotions that were a lot more old school, and in part did, you know, the round system, and then there was some people who'd learned the traditional British wrestling that's a lot more hold for holds, you know, and a lot more, you know, serious, right, you know, to watch kind of thing. But when I got into it, it was always already at the point where people were inspired by WWE, and so it was a lot more Americanized already when I got into it, which I think has carried on until today. It's kind of the new school of wrestling. It's really taken over there as well.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I mean, I like I said, when I was growing up, there had been a couple of different promotions that we could watch here, and I just know that there was a whole different stylized, like you said, it's more hold for hold in the British, you know, and not so much luchador or flipping or stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Like the world of sports and all that. So a couple of times I had the chance to work with somebody who was a little bit more experienced in that style and was able to learn a little bit of that. But in general, I would say I was already more learning the American style.
But you were trained by John Ryan?
Yeah, so I started in Hammerlock, and he was the trainer there. And then I went to FWA, and I was training with Mark Sloan down in Portsmouth. Wow. Yeah.
Now, did you bring any of your wrestling character into this role? Well, I mean, I saw some, you know, kind of wrestling moves in the fight scenes, but did you bring any, like, of the characters you played, portrayed in wrestling into this one at all, or any of your roles?
Well, you know, they say that your wrestling character is a little bit of you and then amplified like 100 times. So I think that part of me that likes to be amplified and that likes to play evil, that part of me, you know, went straight into Simone as well.
So, Kirk, you can't play this character as a wrestler because if it was amplified... I don't know how that would work out. For
nowhere to go. We went through the ceiling with that guy.
I'm not sure. So, yeah. What do you guys have coming up? I know. Carando, you do acting as well, right?
Well, I quit. I no longer do it, but because I'm focusing on my directing career right now. Mm-hmm. So I had the really big movie set up at the end of last year, but that fell through. So it's kind of like, you know, this first half of this year was kind of a scrap and build kind of timing for me. And but you know, I have a few pitches out there. So hopefully, you know, like I said, the horror film possibilities out there. I have other action movie possibilities out there, and also I would love to do sequel to one of my movie called Gun Woman, and that pitch is out there also. So we'll see. You know, I'm just kind of ready to get green light on any of those.
Would you ever like? I mean, I know you started one of your own movies before, but say you needed an extra character actor, you know, would you ever take the role yourself to fill in case you didn't have enough people?
Possible. You know, it's always, you know, a budget is always the question. So yeah, if somebody bailed on me all of a sudden or something, if I have to step in, I guess I will consider that. Yes.
So maybe
you're listed as are you in Sky Sharks or no?
Oh, Sky Sharks. Yes, I am in Sky Sharks. That was a kind of interesting German production.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about it in the past.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It looks very interesting.
Yeah, I think these team of filmmakers, German filmmakers, they follow fan conventions. And in Germany, there's a lot of fan conventions. And, whenever the celebrity guest comes, they just kind of do the negotiation right there on the spot. It's like, hey, I can give you this much money for 3 hours of your commitment. And then if they say yes, you kind of wander off from the convention center to nearby studio and shoot their sequence in front of green screen, and then they'll cut and paste you somewhere in the movie. And so I had the little appearance along with my gunwoman star Asami. So we're supposedly both in Sky Sharks, and but that was shot like 2 years ago. So yeah,
it looks crazy.
Was that the one with Jan Birch?
Yeah, I was gonna say you're in it along with Jan Birch, who's been on our show.
Jan and I were on the same convention together.
Oh yeah, that's funny.
I think he was talked into doing that, along with me.
He's a good guy. We've had Jan on before.
Sharks just came up in discussion. A publicist reached out to me looking to do some, have some people on our show, and Sky Sharks was listed. So I tried to get some people for that, but he said it's currently on hold. But we should know some more information soon. But that movie looks
crazy.
It does.
But anyways,
but it's about sharks, so I got to see it.
Yeah, you got to see it. So Kirk, now that you're back and you're trying to get back in the swing of things, what do you have next? You said you were filming a movie in Canada. Do you have anything else in the works?
Yeah, I've got another one coming up. Writer-director Jane Clark, a friend of mine, she did a film a couple years ago called Crazy Bitches. And she had her financing for the second one, Crazy Bitches 2, Crazier Bitches. And I play a character in there, Bart Gregg, who's won't get into that too much, but she's like really close to getting her financing. We were actually supposed to shoot it last month, but she had a financer pull out. So we're hoping to hear some news again, like Rondo.
Wolfie's on your side of the country as well.
You can look behind Kat right there and see that it's Brad.
That's true. All right. Don't point out my stupidity.
So
I'm going. What's that?
So we are back. My apologies. Had a little bit of a hiccup, but we are now recording and broadcasting, and we won't show the trailer again because Facebook doesn't like that. But if you're just joining us. So this is the second half. We have Kevin, Wolfie, the regular crew, but our very special guest we've been speaking to is Karando Mitsutaki.
Yes. Your Japanese is getting better.
Katarina Waters and Kirk Geiger, all from the movie Karate Kill, which we absolutely loved. And we'll kick it over to Kevin.
After this is done, you need to go back. If you didn't see it, you go back and watch the first, 45 minutes of this whole thing.
We show the trailer, two or three times.
And then get kicked off of Facebook. So one of the things I was going to bring up before we had to restart everything is Kirk, you were kind of joking around saying, maybe a prequel for your character. I know you had talked about doing a sequel to one of your movies, Karando. Would you consider revisiting this as well?
Karate Kill 2. Yeah, actually, the treatment is already done. Japanese producer wanted to shop around as a possible mini series to a Japanese Netflix. I don't think that actually happened, but I already wrote the treatment for the sequel. So if any American producers interested in it, I would love to jump onto it. My star Hayate is game. He wants to do it. Unfortunately, Kirk and K Cat, their character died, but who knows? Maybe they have an evil twin, you know?
I was going to say exactly the same thing.
Or even better.
I was going to say, you can bring Cat back as their own evil twin. That's such a wrestling move right there.
what if he did a prequel, their rise to power, sort of like a sub-story.
Right.
I would totally love that.
They're great characters,
Yeah.
Certainly.
Now we talked to a lot of different directors with lower budgets independent movies, and a lot of them they kind of like have actors that they work with a lot. So is that something like I haven't seen your other movies. Do you work with some of the same actors over and over?
Character actor is the guy who played the comb over guy. Noriaki Kamata. He's a great friend of mine, and he every movie I have he has different hairdo, so I call him the hairdo actor on my movie. But first time collaborating on my second feature, Summer Avenger, he had the completely shaved head, and then the next time we did the Gun Woman together, he had this kind of like a fake hairline, like a doll looking fake hairdo. And then here I gave him comb over. So yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with him next.
I don't know what his characters are like in your other movies, but he wasn't too bright in this one. He kept on thinking he had the upper hand like three times.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, dude, learn. He's a karate master.
Yeah, he was kind of a evil comic relief in this movie, if you would. And but he comes back, kind of surprise comeback, and that's that kind of a Japanese or the Asian martial art, philosophy, if you would, your defeated opponent becomes one of your power, kind of thing.
Yeah. My enemy's enemy is my friend.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So.
I was trying to fight for you guys to get in another movie. Sorry. So it didn't work.
I know.
Oh, maybe he'll put you in the Giallo film.
I would love to work with Kirk and Kat again. In fact, Kat and I are possibly developing a kind of a hard-boiled film noir crime thriller with the female wrestler in it. So hopefully, maybe we can, hopefully we can materialize that as well.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
And then, I think Kirk has already proven that he can play a pretty mean psychopath. So a horror movie, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
You just keep the beard short. Bring people won't know it's you.
Yeah, I'll switch it up. Yeah, I know.
Well, yeah. I mean, looking at his hair right there, you would never guess that he had that longer mane and that. You wouldn't guess it was the same guy.
No, when I was going through the IMDb to look at your IMDb, I had to look at your name. I didn't recognize you at all because you looked completely different with the beard.
Yeah, well, that other film that's coming out is actually traveling around the country right now. It's called The Very Sordid Wedding, and I shot that after we shot this. And, if you do have to actually get to see it at some point, it's traveling through the South right now. It's about it's gay rights, gay marriage rights, and the SCOTUS ruling. And hopefully you put those two characters next to each other, which were shot within the year, pretty, extremely different spectrum side.
So. Yeah, that's, I guess.
That out. Yeah.
I'd like to see how you pulled that off.
Yeah.
Mentally,
I'd love to hear your input when you see it. Let me know.
All right. Yeah, definitely.
Now, see, I could picture him playing like an evil Southern priest.
Yep. Yep. Can do that.
If you just make the calls. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, okay. Let's go.
Or the character was so good, you just play him in every single movie, from horror to like.
Well, you don't want him. You don't want him to get typecasted.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I like it. No one else gets that reference. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even hear it.
Nope.
I said he's not Paul Naschy.
Okay.
Oh.
There we go.
I got it. You can start playing a Wolfman, yeah?
Yeah, there you go.
I guess that was before my time.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's after 10. I know there was a few moments in there where things kind of got paused, but we could, you know, we can definitely wrap things up.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for everyone here, but I know we're all on the same page. You need to go check out Karate Kill. July 18th, track it down on VOD, physical media. I'm a physical media guy, as you can tell behind me. So I'll be hunting it down, whether it be Amazon or sometimes it's fun to hunt for it in a retail location, but it's harder and harder to do that now.
Yeah.
Fortunately. Now the thing that sells, you know, especially me and probably Kev too, with the physical media is there's the behind the scenes kind of stuff on the release and everything. Cause that's definitely what, I know for me personally, that sells me on physical media over everything. You get the, you know, I love to hear the, besides doing this, hear the story and everything going on. So. Yeah.
Is there actually anything on the physical release?
Yeah, I think it's going to be loaded. I did the English audio commentary earlier this spring, and I just did the behind the scene documentary interview in English. We have like a 1 hour long behind the scene documentary on the Japanese release, but I think the our U.S. distributor will tighten that and use my English interview as a kind of a bookend to, I don't know how long the, you know, actual running time will be for that. But I think the biggest surprise that we're trying to do for the physical media is trying to include the soundtrack CD.
Oh, wow.
Nice. With the Blu-ray release. And I'm really in love with this score for Karate Kill. So... it'll be great if you can check out the physical media and get the soundtrack CD as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, commentaries
to go for the physical copy.
Yeah, commentaries are my thing. That's the thing I look forward to on physical media. I'd love to hear, you know, just listen as they tell us how this developed and what happened here, and you know they had to shoot that 27 times because you know this kept happening.
Well, yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
Well, along with that, I mean, this is just such a fun movie that can easily get multiple watches, especially like for me, I missed a couple things on the first watch. You know, this is something you definitely need to own and enjoy. You know, if you're movie hoarders like we are, definitely pick it up. July 18th, Karate Kill. And I want to thank you all for joining us today. Kirk, where do you like people following you?
Not on the street.
Yeah. not into the bathroom. Not on the street.
it doesn't matter to me. It's both Facebook and Twitter, Kirk Geiger. And my website is dogcatbirdproductions.com. I think we've got that out there. But doesn't matter to me. Bring it on.
Yeah, and for the people watching on Facebook Live right now or on YouTube or on the Earplug Podcast Network, check the description. You'll find all the links down below or up above for the websites and social media profiles. But Katarina, where do you like people following you?
On Twitter at Katarina's Infamy. Instagram is the same. And also facebook.com/Katarina's Infamy.
And I just realized I was calling you Katrina the whole time. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's normal.
I was Leo this episode.
You were.
Man.
No, I've been calling her that the whole time, too.
Okay.
So.
I apologize.
Karanda.
She is a hurricane.
And, sir, Karanda, where do you like people following you?
I'm on Facebook, just Karanda Mitsutake. And on Twitter, I'm at M Karanda. Just one word, M Karanda. And just find me somewhere on the social media.
Nice. And we'll do the rundown. Yo, yo.
You can find me at boymeetsphone.com. Also, boymeetsphone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're doing your social media. I should probably be there. Also, make sure you're following New England Comic Con Reviews at necomicconreviews.com or NECC Reviews on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
Wow.
Tony.
Plus, a lot of stuff.
You can find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, where I do movie reviews on Twitter and also Horror Amino. And I'm also on Instagram, Tony's Movies, where I show off the movies behind me.
Wolfie.
You can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday on The Dorkening, every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show. Always doing Horror 1 with Kevin. When we're done with that, we'll be doing the Wicked Horror Reviews.
And you're going to have your sit-down coming up with these fine guests as well.
Yes, yes, I will.
All right. And then you can find me, A-Knuckle, on Twitter, Instagram, A-Knuckle3 on Snapchat, as well as every Sunday on The Dorkening, every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show. Doing the reviews with Wolfie, and yeah, that's about it.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience, where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.